This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, taking you to 6 o'clock tonight. I want to tell everybody at 6:30, LSU baseball as the Fighting Tigers play Mississippi State, and there'll be pregame at 6:30, first pitch at 7 p.m. Got a lot of things happening today, opening season of Major League Baseball, opening pitches today, and then certainly Sweet 16 cranking it off, as Charlie brought out, and we talked to Coach Boog yesterday, and he recruited a lot of those guys that are on that Maryland team, so I know where his heart was to pick Maryland. But Charlie, in the 4 o'clock hour, we have Saints offensive lineman Dylan Radens will join us at 4:20, and at 4:40, Steve Worthy, the CEO of Four Kids Foundation, the Zurich Classic, and that's coming up in April, and we'll talk to him about just a unique tournament because it's a tag team, and Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry are going to come back to defend their Zurich Classic title. Charlie, man, Final Four and opening pitch with the major leagues, but so many eyes on that opening game. BYU-Alabama, and yesterday we have on Tavon Sadler, he really talked highly of BYU, two offensive-oriented teams, and he thought that the Cougars could pull off the big upset against Alabama.
And I'm not sure if it's going to be that big of an upset, Mike. Right now the spread is 4.5 points. BYU versus Bama. BYU had that awesome game against Wisconsin in the round of 32. Great. So, you know, you're expecting a ton of points. The over-under total points of this game, Mike, set at 175.5. And for reference, every other game is like 155.5, 147.5, 156.5, 175. So expect some fireworks in that opening game of Sweet 16 tonight, BYU versus Bama. But yeah, Coach Boog back in the Crab 5 with Maryland, Mike. You know, if that happens, then I get to tear up my bracket because Florida's my champion, but we'll see.
Yeah, and Florida plays tonight as they play Maryland, and then Arizona and Duke. And we've talked about this before, and this is just my personal feeling. You got to help any team that's going to beat if it's Duke. I mean, they are the ultimate Noah's Ark team. They got two of everything at every position. They got it. And they would have to have a bad night of shooting, turn the ball over. I look at that game, and that's a little bit later on tonight. I think it's an 8:40 game as they play Arizona.
Yep.
And then Arkansas, Texas Tech, interesting style matchup between the two. Arkansas, certainly a offensive-oriented team under Coach Calipari, and then Texas Tech, known for their defensive play.
Yeah, so all, obviously, those top seeds, Mike, Bama, the 2 seeds favorite over BYU, Florida, the 1 seed favorite over Maryland, Duke and Arizona, I'm really looking forward to. Duke is heavy favorites against Arizona. Yep. As far as all 4 of the games tonight, they got the biggest spread, and you can see why. Duke is
What is the spread on Arkansas, Texas Tech?
5.5 for Texas Tech. So it's still, you know, they're expecting a pretty good game. That's Duke and Arizona is 9.5. So with Duke, though, you're right, Mike. I mean, they're just so, so talented from top to bottom. It's not just, you know, Cooper Flagg, who's going to be the number one overall pick in a couple months in the NBA draft, but also Konkan Nipple, who's been fantastic. He's going to be a lottery selection, kind of a wing player for the Duke team. But also Malawak, their center, 7'2", great size, great shot blocking capabilities. Tyrese Proctor, they just have stars all across the floor. And there's a reason that they're a 1 seed and probably one of the favorites to win it all this year. I think they're actually technically the favorite to win
They have the
lowest odds. But going up against Arizona tonight, we'll see if Caleb Love and the Wildcats can knock them off.
Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. I know we have a real tight first hour here. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy in the huddle with Mike and Charlie. Jimmy once, Jimmy twice. Okay, Jimmy might have dropped out there a little bit, Charlie, so we'll get him back on.
Oh, well, he dropped.
Okay, he dropped. Tell you what, let's go to break, and when we come back, we'll have on with us Saints offensive lineman Dylan Radance, North Dakota State guy, second-round pick of the Tennessee Titans, signed up with the Saints last week, and talked to him about big reasoning why he signed with the Saints, and have they positioned him at that left guard spot, which seemingly everybody is looking at. Maybe he'll fight Nick Saldiveri for that starting position. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, the newest member of the New Orleans Saints, offensive lineman Dylan Radance. Dylan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Dylan, kind of tell everybody, what was the main look here with the Saints? You have an opportunity certainly to play quickly along the offensive line. This team has had some issues up front the last couple years. But what was the main draw to the Saints?
Out of all the teams that were interested, just the short visit I had with them, the coaching staff, and then, like you said, the opportunity to play, it just all made sense. And, it was an easy choice at the end of the day and just excited to get out there on the field.
Dylan, I think about this. Man, if I was to talk to the 16-year-old Dylan Radance and tell him, and let me tell you your story 10 years from now. You were lightly recruited. You play defensive line, offensive line in high school in Minnesota, go to North Dakota State. You're part of 3 FCS national championship teams, end up going to the Senior Bowl. And I know Jim Nagy, he was the first one to tell me almost day one, man, Dylan Radance is really putting on a show here. And you get to be a second-round pick, and you've continued this career. Man, what a crazy journey. But I always love the journey in life for people, because for you, it's not over. You still have so much left to go in your NFL career. But to get to here, if I was to tell you that as a 16-year-old, your reaction to that?
I probably wouldn't believe you. I had when I was going off to college, even my high school coaches were like, you're going to play on Sunday someday. And I thought they were all crazy. I mean, I was a tall kid, so I always had the height, but I was about 245 my senior year of high school, just playing basketball and whatnot. So, I mean, I never had the weight to play offensive line until I got to college. So, yeah, just rolling with the punches, rolling with the journey, growing the way I did. I had a lot of good father figures in my life. A lot of my coaches helped me develop into who I am today. And so, yeah, I'll give it up to them for developing me into the man that I am today and the player that I am today, because at 16 years old, I always watched NFL football growing up, and it would be a dream come true to play in it, but I never really thought it was possible until about halfway through college, when my O-line coach Connor Riley, who's now the O-line coach for the Dallas Cowboys, he he kind of told me that I could play on Sundays if I wanted to, and yeah, I kind of just took it from there. But yeah, so at a young age, I always had a dream of doing it, never really thought I could, and then eventually just came to fruition.
With the Titans, you kind of played every position, not kind of, you played every position other than center for the Tennessee. Mm-hmm. In talking to Coach Moore, offensive line coaches, coaches with the Saints, have they set a certain position? Because I think a lot of people like myself feel, I know you played strictly at right guard last year for the Titans, that maybe that with this team, you're going to be on the left side.
Yeah, I guess that's the opportunity that's open right now. Obviously, there's nothing set in stone, but left guard would be the opportunity that's there. We'll see how this whole offseason goes, going to put in work. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I'm trying to play football. I'm trying to get out on that field. So wherever they see me fit to play on the O-line, that's where it'll be. And like you said, kind of right now, it's going to be that left side.
Kind of building a little bit off of that question from Mike Dillon, just looking at our St. Sideline reporter Jeff Nowak has the stat. The snaps by position throughout your career, jumbo tight end, you have 13, left tackle, 162, left guard, 322, right guard, as Mike had mentioned, you played all last season in Tennessee, 1,080 snaps at right guard, and then right tackle, 504. Just like the versatility of playing around the offensive line, you know, you can bring that to this offensive line for the Saints.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely my playing days in Tennessee made me a lot of versatility there. But yeah, I think it just it made me learn a lot about myself, not only at my physical body, like as a player, just being able to figure yourself out, because in college I only played left tackle. So being able to just figure my body out physically and mature more into that. And then, just mentally being able to take any challenge that gets thrown at you throughout the week or throughout the day, just being able to switch sides, switch positions, I think it just mentally prepares you for a lot.
And Dillon, you mentioned you played left tackle. You played offensive tackle at North Dakota State. We talked with Landon Young last week, who just re-upped with the Saints as well, a backup offensive lineman that started out as tackle, and he played his collegiate career tackle, but he's played some guard at the NFL level as well. And he mentioned how it was easier to play guard once you played tackle. Is it kind of the same process for you? Was it easier to play guard once you played tackle and back and forth?
Yeah, they definitely both come with different challenges. Guard, you got to keep your head on a swivel because guys come from both sides. That tackle, you kind of look outside in, so you kind of know that. But obviously, there's a reason they pay those edge rushers in the league $20 million plus a year. So those guys can be dudes. And not to say that there's not dudes on the inside as well, but at guard, at least sometimes you're kind of in the middle of the slide side. So you get a little bit of relief throughout the game. So I think both come with challenges. But yeah, ultimately, at the end of the day, being a longer guy, I'd say – the shorter inside as a being a guard, being able to make contact quicker definitely helps a little bit.
Dillon, everybody works with different people in the off season. So, what's your workout routine in the off season? Do you work with somebody that's offensive lineman or former offensive lineman or a coach?
Yeah, right now I'm down in Dallas, Texas, working with Duke Manyweather.
Oh, okay, with Duke
guys.
I got you.
Yes. Yep. Correct. So. This will be my first offseason doing that, and I've loved it so far. And, yeah, just being able to be around other pro guys that work with Duke, it's huge to be in that community working around these guys, especially guys who are very successful at it. So, yeah, it's been good so far.
One thing I can tell you about Duke, man, he stresses fundamentals. That's something he really gets on guys that he works with about. Is winning on the fundamental part of the game, and I'm sure you're hearing that already from him.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, every single drill. I mean, we got him and another coach. He splits us up into three groups, so we get more one-on-one coaching. And, yeah, it's been good so far, like I said, and it's been awesome learning from him.
Your first impressions of Kellen Moore, because that's special for him. This is first time being a head coach in the National Football League. And so your thoughts on first impressions of Coach Moore?
Yeah, I shook his hand, met him very briefly. I'm excited to meet more of him and get to know him more. But, I mean, just knowing that a guy who just came off Super Bowl win, being able to bring that energy into the building – as a new coach, I'm sure it's going to be great. And like I said, just excited with the initial handshake that I had with him, and excited to grow the relationship from there.
Dylan, this ain't dancing for pro football. So you get injuries. Anything this offseason that you had to get cleaned up, or are you healthy this offseason?
I'm pretty healthy this offseason. I mean, like you said, you get nicks and bruises throughout the season. Like I said, I missed one game last year from a toe injury and then one game from a shoulder injury, but came into the offseason, luckily, with a clean bill of health, was able to finish the season out starting and playing. So, nothing to worry about here.
Dylan, Brendan Nugent is back as the Saints offensive line coach, and I just wanted to ask you if you had any interactions with him yet and what he's told you about his envisionment for you on the offensive line.
On the visit, got to meet with him, the assistant line coaches, just talked a little bit of his history, and obviously he's been with the Saints before for a while, and just talked a little bit scheme, what he expected out of the run game, what he expected out of the pass game, technique, all that stuff, mentality. So, that was a good meeting. And, like I said, looking forward to learning more about the offense that they're going to put together and what they're going to expect out of the offensive lineman and getting to know him more. It was a good initial meeting and excited for more.
Dylan, you got to go up against him up close and personal and see it in practice too. I think one of the best players defensively in pro football in Jeffrey Simmons, from a guy looking across and you see that guy in practice and, you know, his work ethic, but you've watched him, that guy, that's the way you play defensive line, because he's a big man that can run. He's fundamentally sound, but man, he's real physical, but he sort of shocks people with his athletic skills.
Jeff was one of our leaders in Tennessee, if not the leader, a few of those years. And, I mean, with his work ethic and leadership, he's one of those guys you just you're happy to have him on your team, because when he puts those pads on, he's definitely one of those mean defensive linemen. And he's strong, and like you said, he's quick, and he's definitely a disruptor. So every fall camp when we have to go against him for – a few weeks straight, we're just happy to see a new opponent, new faces when the regular season starts, because it's not fun going against him every day. But he's a good player, a lot of respect for him, and he was good for us in Tennessee.
For a young offensive lineman, let's say a teenage guy that's trying to play offensive line, any advice you would give him? Because this is a game of footwork and leverage and hand placement and everything else. So what advice would you give a young offensive lineman in those growing stages?
In those growing stages, I mean, I'd say just learn a lot about your body physically, as far as your core, your balance, being able to obviously handle bull rushes in the NFL is huge because everybody's so strong. So, I'd say just figure out your body, figure out your weight, grow into that, whatever that looks like for that player. And then core and balance are huge. And then obviously you can always get stronger being a young guy growing up, unless you're just squatting 500 out of high school or something. But just being able to get that strength up, get that core strength up, and that balance, because you got to be able to handle a lot of different things that they throw your way when you get to the NFL.
You know, Dylan, Mike brought it up with Jeff Simmons, but I also want to get your thoughts on Tavondre Sweat. Mike and I had broken him down, broke down all his tape entering the 2024 draft. Man, a wide load, a big dude, very physical, but also such an incredible athlete for how big he is. Just, going up against him in practice, I know you saw it, up close and personal.
Dylan, I don't want him eating New Orleans food. Man, I know he don't like to get on scales. I know that for a fact.
For sure, T-Sweat, he was... He not only a great teammate, fun guy to be around in the locker room, but you got to get your hands on him quick, because you let him get a full head of steam, it's going to be hard to slow him down, that's for sure. So, great athlete, great guy, definitely an exciting future for him.
Had you ever been to the city before, to New Orleans?
Only to play preseason game Titans played, and then I didn't play in the other game. That was the year I tore my ACL, so I was a healthy scratch on the sideline for that. But, it's the only time I've been here is to play football, and it was in the Caesar Dome, which was an electric atmosphere to play a football game in.
There's no question about it, and I would tell T-Sweat this, and I'll tell you, you don't have a difficult time with weight. man, the food here is going to be hard to walk away from. I'm going to be honest with you. Hard to push that plate.
That's what I keep hearing.
Dylan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Wishing you the best of luck with the Saints. Stay healthy. And, man, to be in that dome and to hear that chant, that Who That chant, man, it is really something special.
100%. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited. It's a pleasure being on. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. Dylan Radins, Saints offensive lineman, looks as though, Charlie, he'll be playing left guard. And his competition there will be Nick Saldivari. I know people in this organization that want him to be the starter, Saldivari. But he got to stay healthy.
He got to earn it too, Mike.
But, man, he was a guy came in with a lot. He was a small college guy, similar to Dylan.
Old Dominion.
From Old Dominion. He was a tackle that they kicked inside. So there's some similarities here. Mm-hmm. Now, Dylan's he's been more healthier than what Saldivari's been. When we come back, we'll have on with us the CEO of 4Kids Foundation, Zurich Classic, Steve Worthy, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Like to tell you along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, the CEO of 4Kids Foundation, Zurich Classic Tournament Director, Steve Worthy. Steve, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Absolutely, Mike. Always fun to do this.
Steve, man, I hear it not only locally, but, you know, when you do shows away from Louisiana, people always bring up about the Zurich Classic and just the uniqueness of it because, it's, you know, golf's the ultimate, you know, it's not a team game, so to speak. You fighting yourself on that part, you know, along with other competitors. But this is the tag team championship here, and so it's great that it's a unique format, and this year you have Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry coming back to defend the Zurich Classic title. But how did that originate? Who was behind that thinking of kind of tag team in this? And it makes it certainly unique for people because I always get asked about it.
Yeah, it's been so much fun, and it's been such a great change. This will be the eighth year of us playing at the two-man team format. You know, back in the teens, 2017 was the first year we went with the team format. You know, when we were in the individual days, we weren't attracting the fields that we wanted to attract, the players that we wanted. You know, you talk to the PGA Tour and the players, everybody who came said, you're doing everything right. You should be having more success. And we need to do something to make it better. And, you know, people, we brainstormed around and talked about a lot of different things and ended up settling on the change to a two-man team. They used to have a two-man team event back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and it had been, 25, 30 years since that had happened. And so, you know, we jumped at the chance to do something a little different. I mean, we're a unique city. We're a fun city, so playing in a two-man team format is a lot more fun. That fits. Guys want to come to town and have a good time. And, you know, I mean, with the you know, kind of mimicking the formats from the Ryder Cup and President's Cup, that's been a lot of fun as well. And, you know, the combination of all that has gotten us good fields. We've gotten a lot of great champions, and, you know, we really started to attract a big crowd, and that's been a lot of fun.
Tell us the challenges of this, because this is also about getting other people involved in sponsorship, and that's a big part of, hey, you got to get funding. And so you're in heavy competition because everybody's looking to get sponsors for their particular deal, and that is challenging for all the golf tournaments around.
It is. And, you know, there's been a lot of upheaval in the golf world with not knowing, you know, a competing league and are they going to merge and where that's all going to go. But, you know, for us, we've had to make sure that we are appealing to not just the hardcore golfer, but people who just want to come out and have a good time, festival goers. Yeah. You know, we put so much emphasis on our food and beverage operation, which people love. We have bands on the weekends. You know, Rory got up and sang last year after he won, and that certainly went viral. I said that at media day yesterday. He hadn't yet dropped the mic, and I had six or eight texts already from people who had seen it online about how did you make that happen. So, you know, we have to appeal to everyone else. And, you know, from our standpoint, and I've said this many times, as a hardcore football fan, you know, I could have somebody that I do business with sitting next to me at an LSU or Saints game, And we're not going to talk about business. I'm focused on that game. But, you know, we have such business-to-business opportunity. People sitting in those suites can watch the best players in the world go by all the while talking about their business and how do we do more and how do we do better. And so, you know, we've really, our hospitality suites have grown and grown to the point that we're going to have to go out on the golf course and other places because we've pretty much maxed out what we can build at 17 and 18. But people want to get together, people that they know, other influential businesses, and spend time together. So, you know, like you said, it's always a fight, but I said that at Media Day yesterday. You know, we, coming out of COVID, we had not been opposite Jazz Fest for 3 years in a row. We were opposite Jazz Fest last year. Saturday and Sunday, they had big crowds. Saturday and Sunday, we had record crowds. Everybody wins. Everybody comes out. You know, we're an event town, and people enjoy it, and we've been blessed to have a lot of sponsors who like the product and continue to participate.
And Steve, kind of lightning strike. I don't want to get hit, but for the most part, good weather. You know, that does that plays a part, because sometimes this time of year, man, you don't know what kind of damn weather you're going to get out there. But for the most part, Zurich Classic, you've been spared of a lot of the bad weather.
We've been on a really nice run, and I'm knocking on wood right now.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, from 2013 to 2018, we had a really ugly run. We were in that unfortunate part where we just couldn't catch a break. And now we've had 4 years in a row where it's been beautiful. And, you know, I mean, again, like we said, I mean, that attracts people who might not be the hardest core golf fan within on a beautiful day, want to come out and let's see what it's all about. And we've converted a lot of those people to regulars. And let's, you know, we've got some foundation members and influential people who are saying a lot of prayers. So I'm hoping we can continue that good streak of weather.
Yeah, because, you know, that's one thing we knew about this town. Man, they love the food, love to have a good time. And so they're in the right spot. You know, we've talked about Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry coming back, but so many other names that have decided to team up and that you can release at this point that is playing in the Zurich Classic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we announced Colin Morikawa yesterday, who's the number four player in the world. Sure, you know, Rory's number two, and Shane is number 12 in the entire world. Colin's number four, and he's playing with Kurt Kitayama. You know, a very good team. We are a little later with our media day this year than normal. So, you know, we are starting. We'll have another team that goes out tomorrow, and we'll start putting out 3 to 5 or more teams every week and just roll that momentum all the way up to tournament week. So you're about to see an avalanche of good names. You know, we've got a lot of good guys lined up. We've got a lot more that we're in conversation with that I feel confident are going to come in before we get to April 21st. And, you know, when it's all said and done, I think we're going to have another really, really, really good field, but, you know, in April.
Steve, tell everybody, if somebody's interested, because this is also about charity work with the Four Kids Foundation, and if somebody wants to get involved, but this is also heavily involved in charitable work in our region.
That's, you know, I mean, the Four Kids Foundation, our host organization that runs the golf tournament, it's our members who are out working in those hospitality suites and on the range and doing scoring and all of the different things that have to take place out there. I mean, they devote tremendous time and effort to make this, you know, we can make the best plan in the world, but we don't have the members and the volunteers who are out executing it and taking ownership and doing all of what they do. It wouldn't work. And so, they do that because we're able to raise money in the community for children's charities. I mean, certainly we've got a lot of need in New Orleans. And, you know, I mean, we raised $3.3 million for children's charities last year. So our members work really hard, but also take great pride in knowing that they're making our area and our region a better place to live. We distribute that money, you know, from Baton Rouge all the way down the bayou through New Orleans. And are very proud of the work our folks do.
Steve, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do it to help out with the Four Kids Foundation?
Yeah, I mean, probably the best thing to do is go to our website, ZurichGolfClassic.com. You can see all of the ticket options. There's info if they need to call us, if they want to volunteer. They can do that. If they, you know, want to join the Four Kids Foundation, there's info there. You know, a lot of opportunities, but all of that info is on the website. So ZurichGolfClassic.com would probably be the best start.
Steve, thanks so much for joining us. I know we'll have you back on before the tournament, which is later on in April. And I know I'll probably be busy that weekend because I think it's the NFL draft weekend.
Draft.
But that's all right. But, hey, we'll always keep that eye on things. And it ends Saturday, so I got a Sunday to go.
Perfect. Well, we appreciate it and look forward to talking to you as we get closer.
Thank you so much, Steve. Appreciate it. Steve Worthy, CEO of 4Kids Foundation, Zurich Classic Tournament Director, and Charlie's, they've been lucky, jackpot lucky. They had a string where, man, the weather was not real good, but the last 5-6 years, they've been fortunate with it.
It's like he was saying, he's going to be knocking on wood to make sure it stays that
way. Man, knock on anything, because you never know this time of year what kind of weather you're going to get. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Charlie, got any updates from Major League Baseball? I know you're watching the Astros.
Yeah, no, my Astros are doing well. I'll do my best to do a quick scoreboard here, Mike. Yankees 4, Brewers 1, Orioles 9, Blue Jays 2. Phillies 2, Nationals 1, Red Sox and Rangers tied at 2 apiece, Pirates 4, Marlins 1, Giants 2, Reds 3, White Sox 3, Angels nothing, Guardians 4, Royals 3, Astros 3, Mets nothing, Braves 4, Padres 3, and the Twins and Cardinals tied 0-0 in the bottom of the first.
So the Astros are beating that Sports Illustrated cover team, right?
Yeah, they're doing pretty good.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.